Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Top Shelf Sports Talk. You're hanging out in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan, Rochester.
Fearless. They look fearless. Yeah, and that's the difference. You know, I think you harbor fear, and you then manifests in hesitation. You know, you identify with how you're going to. You identify with your vulnerabilities, and that's fear. You identify with your strengths. That's confidence. And I think too much of the year, you identified with. You know, I think we're playing much more toward the line of fearless.
Our Sabres head coach Don Granato, big one tonight at KeyBank as the Islanders are in town and the Sabres are chasing slim playoff hopes. But the light hasn't been extinguished entirely, and they have been playing a better brand of hockey. And to talk about it, Joe Yurden from Bleacher Report and Noted Hockey joins us now in the sports bar. Joe, before we talk about the team that's been on a bit of a run here over the course of the last 10, 11 games, update us on what the win against Detroit earlier this week meant and what a win tonight for the Islanders could mean for the Sabres, albeit slim chances of making the postseason.
Yeah, they're in a much more interesting position now. Beating Detroit got them to within five. Detroit's in their own little funk right now. They've lost six in a row and looking terrible while doing it. The Islanders are hot. They've won six in a row, I believe. So they've gotten themselves into the playoff race by getting hot at the right time of year. But Buffalo's they're in the stalking position right now. Because they're playing well, they're doing very well, and this is a big week. I mean, if they can beat the Islanders tonight, and if they can go to Detroit on Saturday afternoon and beat Detroit again, they're right there. And I mean, there's a lot of teams that are also right there. Let's not get it confused, but there's a lot of the teams in that mix are not playing very well, but the Sabres are one of them that are, and so that's. We're in a much different spot than we thought this team was going to be in about a month ago.
Yeah, what's been the difference here, Joe? Because the Vegas win, you had that exciting win over Edmonton, certainly piling on. And yes, Detroit has their issues, but this was the Sabre team a lot of us were expecting for the most part this year, and it's only arriving here in March. So what's been kind of the reasons why you could point to for the change here?
Well, it's different layers of confidence. It starts with Luukkonen. Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen has been incredible since taking over the number one job. And they, you know, they're riding him. He's the hot hand. He's one of the hottest hands in the league right now. He's been outstanding for a few months now. And if it weren't for the first half of the year and things being all kind of scuffed, you could probably make a case for Luukkonen to be in the Vezina talk, but he's playing extremely well. And when you know your goalie's going to make the saves, and you know he's going to make some of the saves that maybe he shouldn't be making, you feel a lot better about your defense. And the team is playing better defense themselves. Don Granato talked a bit about that today, about how, you know, their way of playing defense is more instinctual now, as opposed to thinking about it and, you know, harping on their own mistakes and kind of getting lost in the ice at times. They know where they're supposed to be. They know, you know, what they're supposed to be doing, and they're taking care of that. And because of that, it's allowing them to play offensively a lot closer to what they were doing last year, playing with speed, playing with pace, attacking teams, driving the middle lane, doing all those things that they just weren't doing in the first half of the year for XYZ reasons. So it took them about 60 games, but it's finally starting to come together a bit here because this is looking a lot more like the team I think a lot of us thought we were going to see for a better part of the year.
I know it's a real small sample, and I know it's not sustainable, but man, given the opportunity to play on a top pairing, the new acquisition in Bowen Byram sure looks at home with the Buffalo Sabres. Talk a little bit about his stretch here since joining the team.
Yeah, he's a fascinating player because he comes over from Colorado and he won a Stanley Cup when he was 20 years old, I think he was in 2022, which is wild. I mean, that's just nutty to be able to be a key part of a Stanley Cup winning team at that age. But when you've got Cale Makar and you've got Devon Toews as your top D pairing, you're probably not going to get a lot of those prime assignments. And for whatever reason, he wasn't getting those in Colorado for a better part of the year. I think, Jack Johnson was his partner for a lot of the season. Sam Girard was too, Josh Manson. Like, they were just trying to find a place for him, and nothing was working. He comes here, and he's got a high pedigree. And, he's had injury issues over the years, whatever. He's past that now. And putting him with Dahlin now puts Dahlin on the right side more often than not. And he thrives on the right side. I know it's weird for a lefty shot to do that, but he does. You go back to his draft year, he played a lot on the right side in Sweden, and boy, there's a reason why he was the number one consensus guy to be picked that year. So Byram allows to do that, and he attacks the game like mad. He reminds me a bit of Dahlin early on in his career, except Bowen Byram's a lot more responsible on the defensive end at this age now. He's a very special player, and someone I spoke with after the trade came down, they texted me and they said this could be a franchise altering trade in the good for Buffalo, because you give up Mittelstadt and yeah, he's great, he's a great player, but Byram changes the entire conversation on the defense, because you went from who's going to play with Dahlin, who's going to play with Power, being like, oh, now we've got three absolute dynamite defensemen, and Samuelson's in there, Joki Haru's in there. You're looking at a defensive core that is going to be nasty for years to come.
Sabres and Islanders, our coverage will begin at 7 tonight. Our friend Joe Yurden, noted hockey, Bleacher Report, also part of the Maintenance Day podcast. Joe, the Kyle Pozo trade, I viewed that kind of as a favor. Hey, you go, this is your last year. You go have a chance to win a cup here. But I guess my question is, it's not too often you see a team captain kind of get shipped out. So where did the Sabres go from here? And could this have actually been, it sounds like a slam, but really it isn't, addition by subtraction, meaning, hey, the team captain isn't here. Everybody else has to kind of pick up the slack in some sort of way. Like, who do you see being the future captain of this team?
Well, to answer that question, I think it's going to be Dahlin. Dahlin exhibits all the earmarks of what a captain does on the ice. I mean, he leads by example out there. I mean, he takes charge of situations. He's the guy kind of mixing it up, guy throwing his body around, getting back at opponents that may have wronged somebody or him out on the ice. He takes care of that kind of business.
Is he too emotional at times, though, Joe? I've seen moments this year where Dahlin gets frustrated on the ice because of his own play. Does he have that maturity to kind of keep that suppressed while he's on the ice and not let his opponent know that they're getting the better of him?
I know what you're saying, and I get what you mean. But I think that kind of leadership is something this team's kind of needed, honestly. Like, somebody to play fiery. Now, you don't want reckless penalties, obviously. You don't want any of that kind of stuff. But I mean, he's a ferocious competitor. I mean, over the years, you don't usually see a guy get like mad for making mistakes in practice and, slamming his stick or, missing an opportunity to score in practice or something like that. And just kind of get really mad about it. He does. And he's just like, it's not prima donna stuff. It's just, he wants to win everything. He wants to do it all. He wants to win everything. And he's just a manic competitor. He's just, I see him being the guy that everybody's going to look to in that room and say, okay, like, you know, Raz is doing this. We're doing this too. We're in with you. He exudes a lot of those leadership qualities. Now, granted, he's still very young. But you know, at 20, he's going to be what, 23, 24, which that's crazy on himself. But, you know, he's older than what Jack was when they named him captain. Granted, you know, probably maybe shouldn't have named him captain that young, but he's grown up quite a bit, in his time here, and he's going to be here for years to come. And he's the guy. To me, he's the guy. And, you know, you trade away a Pozo, and, you know, he was like the team dad, honestly. I mean, he was the guy everybody looked to. You know, he provided the guidance, he provided the leadership, the mentorship, all that stuff. But you know, the effort on the ice was great. Everything, like everything about him was good, but you take away that older guy. Now it's everybody else in the room's got to look at each other and go, okay, it's on us. Let's do this. And, you know, it lets you look inward a little bit. And it also kind of brings everybody else together to just say, like, all right, you know, cap's gone. Let's go take care of business.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Joe, what are you seeing as far as how Don Granato has kind of mixed things up here with the lines? Because it hasn't been static here down this last stretch of games where the Sabres have had some success. Are you seeing, you know, a higher level of play from some players, given that they might be shuffled around a little bit in the lineup here?
What I see is, I know people get frustrated. They get really frustrated when Don messes with the lines, but he seems to get it right a lot. Like a lot of the time he seems to nail it down. Everybody was all kinds of bent out of shape about Zemgus not being traded at the deadline. And, you know, the first game after the deadline passes, he's on the first line with Thompson and Tuck, and everybody's like, what's going on? He's the hardest forechecker on the team. He's the guy that mixes it up. He's the guy that goes to the net all the time. Look at what he's done to be able to kind of loosen things up for Thompson and Tuck. And those guys have been playing very well the last few weeks now. Like they're feeling a lot better. They're playing good. Tuck's been fantastic, but Zemgus creates a lot of that stuff. And it's just by him playing the way he always does. And I think when you've got a guy that plays that kind of reliable style, it allows your creative guys to know where he's going to be, A, and B, know how to work around him too. And you see that with Greenway, with Cousins and Benson. I think that trio has been fantastic. I mean, they play like what's the old Phil Housley line, you know, like a dog on a bone. Like they're just on it all the time. And you kind of see that sort of mix going all the way through. And, you know, the fourth line, I mean, you got a lot of guys, you got a few guys there that are out to prove something, you know, Jost and Olofsson especially, and Eric Robinson as well. I mean, those guys are going, you know, 100 miles an hour. Obviously, you want to see Krebs and Paterka and Skinner, you know, kind of pick their pace up a little bit. But, you know, when they explode, they're awesome. They are very fun and creative to watch. So, I don't know. It's wild to look at the lines and go, like, I don't know if this works. But then you watch it happen, and you're like, all right, I think I get it now. And I think that's kind of what we're seeing.
Game tonight, big one for the Sabres, obviously, chasing a team in the standings. Joe, the question is, like, who of these teams right now do you see as like the real threat? And I think we can say, yeah, Detroit, I don't know. They've lost six in a row, as you mentioned. They have teammates fighting in practice. Maybe you can stretch it and say the Devils, who have a game in hand, even though they're a point behind. Washington, I'm not considering. It's got to be the Islanders, right? But then when I say that, I look at the standings. This is what's messed up here, Danger. The Sabres actually have two more wins than the Islanders. It's 14 loser points that the Islanders have picked up over the course of the season.
They're the frauds.
Yeah, yeah. Like Joe, like paint a picture here of the playoff race for us.
My favorite part of breaking this down, and I did a little bit of this with on Bleacher Report today, you know, kind of doing some postseason predictions, which I didn't put the Sabres in the postseason. You know, everybody can boo me. I get it. The road's very hard, but the regulation wins. If you look at that, if you look at that column on the standings board with NHL.com and you look at who's winning their games in 60 minutes, Sabres have done pretty well at that. And if there's a thing the Sabres have been bad at this year, it's getting to overtime. But, you know, you've got teams like the Islanders, the Bruins. The Bruins have been to overtime a zillion times this year. Now, granted, they're very good, but they've had 15 loser points. I mean, I can't imagine having a team that good and losing 15 times in overtime in the shootout and still being one of the best teams in the East. But them and Toronto and Washington to a degree, like these teams are, you know, you look at it and say, oh, they're doing really well, but I don't know. Like it's one of those things where if you handicap the playoffs and you're like, if they get in, they're going to get bombed out. They're going to get swept out pretty quick because they can't hang in regulation and win those games then. Buffalo's been able to do that for when they have won games, and that's good. Now, granted, they've been able to kind of get back into this thing because they have been able to drag a few games to overtime and get, you know, steal a point here or there. But, you know, they're winning in overtime. They're winning in shootouts. So that's helped them. But, I mean, I don't know. The fact that they're able to take care of business and not allow opponents to get points on them is good. But, you know, the flip side of that is that if they're not getting any points, it's that, you know, if they're not getting overtime, they're, you know, they're coming up empty. So it's all or none for them. And I don't know, it's very hard to handicap this because you get the feeling like it's like back in the day when teams were just, you know, they get to overtime and they're like, all right, nobody's risk anything. Let's just get a tie. Both teams get a point. Let's, you know, let's just go on. Now it's, you know, game's close late and you're like, I don't want to cost us 2 points. Let's just kind of ease into this and make sure we can get one at least and then figure it out from there. You know, that kind of stuff drives me nuts. Please give me the 3-2-1 point system. Please, yeah, please. Yeah. Please, can we do that? God.
Joe, yeah, I've been saying all season long through the Sabres inconsistencies that if you only dine on a steady diet of Buffalo Sabres hockey and then you force yourself to watch another game in the NHL, it's sometimes like watching another sport because competitive teams just play a different style than the Sabres have been playing, or at least it looked like it to your eyes. There's a speed, there's a movement. And I hadn't really seen it out of the Sabres until Tuesday night. So I guess my question is, knowing that this is in them, was that more about the Sabres or was that more about Detroit being what Detroit is right now?
I think it's both, honestly, because, you know, you look at some of these other games. Look at the Edmonton game. I mean, that's a team that should be, you know, the talent level and all that. That's a team that should be, you know, kind of boat racing, you know, based on what the Sabres have done all season. You're thinking, these guys are going to blow their doors off today.
Yeah.
Didn't happen. And, you know, they were able to hang with them punch for punch and played extremely well. And they've been able to do that a lot lately. I kind of toss out that Toronto game because both teams were awful. It's one of the worst games I watched all season, but I think that was, you know, that was one where both teams were just kind of like, all right, we're not gonna get into a track meet today. Let's just kind of D it up. But it, Don kind of explained it a little bit today. Everything that they've been working on this season, you know, the defensive responsibility and trying to play with pace, all these things. He said this is all part of the process. Now he didn't say anything about trusting the process, like none of that stuff. Like keep that phrase out of action because it's a jinx. But he said, you know, with a group this young and you look at, you know, everything that they've had to like get together and they've had to learn along the way, learning how to win games, learning how to, you know, to trust their defense, learning how to trust the goaltending, all that stuff. It's taken them to now to get to that point and playing with confidence, trusting each other, doing all that stuff. I know it sounds like all coach buzzword stuff, But this is more like what they should be doing. This is more the way they should be playing. And man, oh man, it's one of those things where you're just kind of like, where has this been all year? But
yeah.
They kind of had to learn it to get to that point. You know, they started the season thinking like, okay, well, we're just going to outscore everybody and do it that way. And that's not good. They showed that last year. That's not, it'll win you some games. It'll win you a lot of games, but not enough to get you to the postseason. Now they have to, you have to round out everything. And now they've got the defensive side down and they know they can score. They know they can. And now we're seeing that all come together.
Joe Yearden from Bleacher Report, our guest here in the Sports Bar. Last one for me, Joe. And boy, the Amherst coming up nicely, a team that they've had some issues with, Syracuse. And just your thoughts here as we're down to 14 games left in the Amherst season. And they're kind of hanging on to that third spot right now, which I think would be really nice if they can kind of avoid that play-in round. But you look at what's behind them in Belleville by 1 point, Toronto only by 2 points. You got the home-and-home coming up with the Marlies this week. You know, kind of assess what you're seeing out of the Amherst so far. And also, Devin Levi, you know, playing pretty well here for the Amherst and taking this assignment.
Yeah, Levi's done very well there. And, you know, it's really good to see that because yeah, I think the big worry everybody had was that having him go to Rochester, was it going to be, you know, one of those kinds of things where he's going to kind of sulk on it? Was he going to struggle for a while? Was he going to be kind of bitter about things? Whatever the case. We've seen that happen with lots of guys when they go down, they just kind of chew on it for a while and you're like, what the heck's going on here? He hasn't done that. He's played very well. I think there's another level to come from their young guys, from Roseanne and Kulik. I think there's another jump to come from them late in the season. They've been fighting it for a while now. You want to see them kind of get it back there. And we saw it a bit late in the season last year where, a bulb kind of went off and they both started really kicking it into gear. It's a little different this year because now teams are preparing for them and that's part of the test for them. But we're seeing a lot of the depth players playing extremely well. Mason Yobst has been incredible. I am so happy to see that guy do so well there. And, you know, Brett Murray's been hanging around the net, doing his job there, being big. We see Cali Shaleen jump right into the mix there. And he's, looks pretty good there for his first couple of games with a new team. So that's nice. They really needed some defensive depth help there. So that's great. But, you got Ryan Johnson there now. I think that's a huge help for the defense. Cause I mean, he should be playing 20 minutes a night, all situations. Let's see what he's got. But, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a battle. And they've got the players to be able to hang with, with the hard veterans of the AHL, but they've also got that high talent right there, with some of these guys. You know, we see Neuchev's look pretty good lately now too. So I want to see some of those guys maybe get a little bit of a boost here and pick things up for them so they can get into the playoffs and maybe get hot again, maybe get on a run.
You know what, Gino? Talking to Joe this afternoon is exactly what my soul needed. You could have been down about this team, this organization, yeah, all season long, but I actually now, I'm excited for tonight. I'm excited for what's ahead for the Amherst. And Joe, I know that for the Sabres that the chances are slim and that they probably aren't a postseason team. But it's exciting to know that not only are they performing at a higher level right now, but the guys that are underneath them, the guys here in Rochester that we know will in the future be contributing to the success in Buffalo, are performing at a pretty good level as well. You turned my mind around on this organization here during the course of our conversation, Joe. I appreciate you.
It's funny what some wins can do to kind of change the temperament for everybody.
Yeah.
The win one, lose two, way of life has got everybody really sore about things, but it's getting results and then also playing fun again. That's all part of the excitement. I get it. The odds of going to the playoffs are about the same as them getting Macklin Celebrini in the lottery. Whatever. But they're winning, so take it and run.
Joe, what can we read here, and when is the next pod drop? What can our listeners check out here?
Well, I think the next pod's going to drop next week. I got to make sure to get on point with Lance. Lance is going to to Western Canada with the team next week, so we got to figure out a time to schedule. But lots of Bleacher Report going on there. Like I said, I got a piece up today about playoff predictions. Again, Sorry for not picking the Sabres. And at Noted Hockey, lots of Sabres talk there. Game stuff. Got a couple other features I'm cooking up here too. So lots to read there. And yeah, subscribe if you can. That'd be great.
Joe, appreciate your time as always, buddy. See you around soon.
Hey, you got it, guys. Thanks so much.
Joe Yurden. You can read his stuff at Noted Hockey, Bleacher Report, and he's a great follow on X if you're following the Sabres or the Amerks, at Joe Yurden.
Let me say what 10 p.m. tonight is going to be on Sabres Twitter. There's no middle ground. Either like, huh, I knew it all along. Oh, at least we don't have to worry. Or everybody will be all bought in and excited about the destination, because next up on the schedule, game at Detroit. So theoretically, Danger, by the time Sunday evening comes around, that's an afternoon game in Detroit. Like Saturday afternoon, after Saturday evening, you could actually be only 3 points out of a spot.
Right. And it's not easy. The schedule is a little daunting here down the stretch, but you do have some games against opponents that you're chasing that you can make up some ground and at least make it interesting. And by make it interesting, I'm just saying, if you play the way you played against Detroit for the rest of the season, I think a lot of us would be like, okay. And it's what we said when we were down. It's like they'll play just good enough to give us enough hope and optimism through the offseason to have us excited about what next season looks like. And, you know, then you hope that next season doesn't go the way this season did. But the at least some of that has, and winning is the ultimate deodorant. Joe's right. I mean, you win a few games, you go 7-3-1 in your last 11, and the cries for fire Donnie get a little bit more muted. Happy hour is on the way next in the sports bar. We've got time for your calls if you want to join us at 866-4326. And we want to extend an invite to you for you to join us a week from today. The NCAA tournament gets underway, opening day of the tournament, and we will be live at the Tap Room at Bill Gray's in the Chi Lai Avenue location.
Yeah, come on down. You know, it is like we love when we go out on the road, and actually, Danger, this is the first time in a few years we've been out for March for the opening day of the tournament. So games begin at noon, our show begins at 3. You guys can come down, gals. We'll be there before and after.
Play hooky. I mean, everybody thinks they want to do it. Just do it if you don't. I mean, a lot of people will. I have friends who will take the day and Friday off. We're just going to watch all day. We're going to drink beers. We're going to be absolute. I mean, when I look at this menu, I'm like, oh, yeah. Get me the fried pickles. Give me the jalapeno poppers. Get me a cold one with the basketball.
You get the great plate. You can get all that sort of stuff.
Nothing sounds better for the start of the tournament. So we'll be doing that live starting at 3 o'clock a week from today. The Tap Room at Bill Gray's Chi Lai Avenue location. We welcome you out and invite you to join us on Thursday in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Happy hour next.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.